Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I love politics.
Not sure what politics and dating really go together.
The only thing I do recognize right now is a political fiasco here.
Political decision.
What are you doing? You don't know anything about politics.
Well, apparently you're more political than we thought.
I'm no cheap, crooked politician.
Gentlemen, affairs of state must take precedent over the affairs of state.
Boy, I did not go into politics to pimp for you.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
What the hell with that? It's Friday night. Let's all get turnt. I mean, come on.
You've seen The Force Awakens. You're back at work. Your resolution to lose weight already ended at the Sizzler Pudding Bar. Face it, this year's gonna suck as much as your previous 42. Fortunately, there's something to numb the pain. Introducing alcohol. Available in bars, stores, and jugs in redneck backyards, alcohol is guaranteed to relieve your suffering.
Thanks to alcohol, I went from wallowing in self-pity to, I don't remember.
Best of all, you don't need a prescription to enjoy alcohol. Just a valid ID. And a wig if you don't want to be recognized as a troubled NFL quarterback.
I hated my coworkers. And then I came to the office after using alcohol and let's just say I'll never have to see them again.
Yeah. Talk to your doctor about alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, don't. Side effects include dizziness, talking to lampposts, bickering, promiscuity, overestimating your own and others' attractiveness, weight gain, singing Sweet Caroline at the top of your lungs, liver sensitivity, and lower back tattoos.
And we're all west, and let's go. You're listening to Drex Radio Show on KGO 810. And Emily Mithner, let's make sure I get this right. Emily, thank you for staying awake. I know you're on the East Coast.
Of course, no problem. Happy to be here.
Well, you're a millennial, so I said, it's okay. I told Crystal, my producer, she can handle it. She's a millennial, so it's just perfect. And by the way, I do want to say, Emily, that, you know, you're a beautiful young lady.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I was like, is she 12? How old is she? How old? Well, you don't have to tell me, but.
It's okay. I'm older than I look.
Oh, good
well,
for
she's,
you.
She's a millennial expert. And I said, and she's the founder and CEO of Find Spark and MCG Social. Am I right? Tell me what Find Spark is.
Sure. So we are a community dedicated to setting up young professionals for career success. So we create all sorts of programming aimed to get people closer to their dream careers. So things on the topics of networking, interview skills, personal branding, and a lot of that revolves around really utilizing tools like social media, Twitter, and LinkedIn to further their careers.
I love it. And you work with BuzzFeed. Too much clickbait, by the way. L'Oreal, Trojan. Well, hello, Friday night. The Peace Corps, United Nations, Princeton University, and the list goes on. Well, Emily, so we're going to talk about all things millennial here for a second. And I think that my producer sent you the story that I found really interesting about the Phoenix Suns owner who attributes the team's woes to the millennial culture.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when I read about it and the issues that the team is having, you know, one thing I think is clear that there's obviously a chemistry issue between team members, you know, and the phrase that's really been used a lot in the business world is company culture and the importance of company culture. And I think that they're definitely dealing with a culture issue, which Sarver, you know, admitted to, right? And it's, I think, you know, within sports as well as the workplace, it's really a top-down issue, and he did admit to that.
Yes, he did. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Phoenix Suns, who, by the way, suck. They are not our Golden State Warriors, all right? They suck, and they suck bad. So the owner has a problem with it, and he specifically called out Markieff Morris. I may be mispronouncing his name, but it doesn't really matter. He was fined $10,000 in September for publicly demanding a trade when his twin brother Marcus Morris was traded to the Pistons in Detroit. Now, last month, the power forward was hit with a two-game suspension for throwing a towel at the coach, the Suns coach, Jeff Hornacek, if I have that correct. And so this owner said, my whole view of the millennial culture is that they have a tough time dealing with setbacks. And he used Morris as a perfect example. He had a setback with his brother in the offseason, and he can't seem to recover. And he says he blames this on technology and the need for instant gratification of being online.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. So we took a poll from our Friends for our community members recently, and we asked them what was the number one thing that they consider when they're looking for a job. And the answer, by far the top answer, was a positive work environment and company culture. So, again, I think, you know, between having a couple of players, you know, like the ones you mentioned, who are being very outwardly vocal about their dissatisfaction of the team, I think that can really poison the chemistry of a team. And it seems like that's a big thing that is causing those issues.
I agree with you, because let's talk about it. Now at the workplace, we're talking about three generations. So we've got the boomers, we've got the X, Generation X, and, Generation Drex. So there you go, right in the middle. And then we have the millennials. So we're at a three-generational stage, and it's really important that they click. So obviously with the Suns, it's not clicking when he says things like, oh, well, I'm not a fan of social media. I tell my kids it's like fantasy land. It's like, dude, you know, you need to get with the program, I think, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is everyone's dealing with social media no matter what your age is. And, you know, I think people like to pick on millennials and say that, you know, we're the ones that are using it so poorly and that sort of thing. And what I always like to bring up is, you know, millennials have to deal with, you know, I think more than anyone, this entire additional universe of etiquette, you know, and having this, and not only etiquette, but, you know, having these platforms to be able to communicate with people. You know, I think most people are used to doing it with their friends, right? So you have people, you know, normal people Snapchatting and Instagramming and that sort of thing. And when you put those platforms into the hands of these still, you know, young kids who are still normal kids, but they have all this pressure of being in the public eye. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for anyone to deal with.
You know, and I have to say this because I have a huge respect for the millennial generation because, I mean, they're next. And it just reminds me of, you know, since I was young and in the 80s and 90s, of our parents hating whatever we were doing. It's like, well, that's just the way it works. So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, And I don't understand why there is this, the millennials, it's just like, it seems like there's a war and there's an attack. There's such a divide between the generations. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's unfortunate because, you know, I call myself a career optimist. I always really like to look on the positive side of things. And there are so many people doing incredible things. You know, a big thing that we emphasize with FindSpark is that, you know, we are so lucky to be in a generation where we have so much information at our fingertips to be able to, do a lot of research, create really great things. I mean, the barrier to start things like start a company, start a blog, all that kind of stuff are so low now. And it's really exciting and an incredible way, you know, now we can really create our own experience in a way that other generations can't. And a lot of people are doing really incredible things of having access to these tools.
So I think it's unfortunate that the generation Xers, the Drexers of my own generation and the boomers are not being accepting of this because there's always next. And I don't, you know, I perceive that, I see it, and I accept it. And as a matter of fact, I try to assimilate as much as possible. But I think one of the rules is, you know, I'm not one, so don't pretend to act like one, right?
Right. Right. Well, you know, right. There's always something, right? When you were younger, maybe you got yelled at for talking on the phone too much, right?
So, yes, or listening to the radio all night. Right. Yeah.
Right. There's always going to be a new medium that, you know, every generation has to deal with. And for us, it's, you know, the internet and social media and Snapchat. And, you know, again, I think it's really exciting to, you know, we see through our community because we focus on helping our community finding jobs and internships, you know, any social media platform you've heard of, we have a success story of community members finding a job through that platform, right? Like networking with people through Instagram and then landing a job that goes from internship to full time. So, there is tons and tons of positive things happening. And another thing that, I like to bring up oftentimes as well is, really social media is an extension of the person, and not everybody is a good person, and not everyone has a good personality. So of course you're going to see some people who don't do great things with these platforms.
Okay, Emily Mithner is my guest, and she is a millennial expert. And if you have any questions or you want to comment on the millennials, well, now's your chance. 808-0810 is the number, 808-0810. If you're outside the Bay Area, anywhere in the world, it's area code 415-808-0810. We'll continue the conversation in just a minute on KGO 810. Speaking of multi-generational and all things now millennial, this is great. Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Samuel L. Jackson talking about the new Star Wars.
Samuel, a lot of people texting in wanting to know what you think of the new Star Wars movie. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. Not crazy about it.
It's cool. It's in the right spirit.
Right. Were you pissed that you weren't in it? Did you want to be in it?
I'm always pissed I'm not in the movie.
Right. You are? Yeah. You are. Okay, so I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, what would your score, what would you give it? On?
Really?
Yeah.
On TV?
Yeah.
That's some bull. how many stars do you give?
It's out of 100%.
Oh, I'm not with that.
Right. All right. Did you go to the theater and see it?
No, I actually saw it at someone's house.
You did?
On a big screen, though.
You did? Well, okay, good.
That's cool. I mean, the kids could use some lightsaber training.
Right. They were a little clunky.
Yeah. But I guess they're not supposed to be that good yet.
And there you have your multi-generational crossover, if ever there was one. I mean, Star Wars, that pretty much nails it. And you got to love Samuel L. Jackson. And by the way, he did play golf with Donald Trump. So there you have it. So back to my guest, Emily Mithner. She's a millennial expert, and we're talking about all things millennial. And yes, so, it's very interesting when we talk about cross-generation things. Star Wars is one, culturally, don't you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that one of the things that, we try to do here, what I liked about Samuel was he was actually honest, but he was afraid to say what he actually thought, but that's as brave as I've heard anyone be about the new Star Wars movie. Don't dare diss it. I haven't seen it, but, I keep waiting for somebody to say, it's all right. It's all right. So back to the millennial thing. So, Emily, you work with people and you mentor them as millennials. And back to the whole culture of work. What would your advice be to the other generations as far as dealing with these problems? As this Phoenix Suns owner has attributed his club's ongoing struggles to the inability of the millennial culture to deal with problems.
Yeah, well, one thing that I would say about, his complaints that I do think is true is, the fact that he talked about not being able to deal with setbacks. And, I would have to agree with him in the sense that, something that is unfortunate about social media and, being bombarded with content from your peers or from, famous people and sports players is that it's very much about highlighting the positive, right? I mean, people like to think of, say, their Instagram account like a highlight reel of my life. Like, here's a really cute picture of me doing this, or me winning an award, or me having so much fun here. And, it can be a little draining, I think, to just be constantly shown, the highlights of other people's lives. And I think it can cause you to think, well, why aren't I here yet? So I do think that's an issue. And a big part of the Find Spark community and our programs, both online and offline, are letting people know that it's not all, it's not a walk in the park, right? Trying to land your dream job, it's really hard. It's really competitive. You have to start at the bottom. We work specifically with people who are, 18 to 25. So again, that millennial age range. And a lot of times, the shit you have to go through, people aren't talking about that online. They're just talking about the good stuff. So we really want to create an environment where people are not sugarcoating exactly, the process of, creating that dream career for yourself. And so, as the owner of the team was saying, I think it can be difficult to handle, you know, bad things and rejection when all you're seeing online all the time is just the good stuff.
Okay, well, so yes, and a lot of people would say, and you know, you are a millennial, so you get to say it, and that's an obvious thing. So you are actually admitting that there is a disconnect, and I think that's, you know, what especially the older generation, that's what they think. They think, well, you know, they can't stop looking at their device, and if you take it away, the art of conversation doesn't exist.
Right, and that's why a huge part of, you know, the Science Park started actually as a meetup. So we base a lot of our programming in creating face-to-face opportunities for our community members to meet employers, meet experienced professionals, hiring managers, and to really balance the online and offline conversations. I don't think it's a good idea to do too much of one or the other, and I think both can really complement one or the other. So, you know, we focus on, you know, for instance, helping people learn how to go to a networking event, talk about themselves in person, face-to-face, in a quick, you know, 30-second pitch, and then the etiquette tips for going home, going on LinkedIn, what sort of message you should send to that person afterward, you know, whether or not you should be adding them on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you know, but really learning how to deal with the professional etiquette of the in-person world in addition to the online world.
Wow, that's incredible. So what I find incredible about this Emily Mithner, who is a millennial expert, and she is one, so she gets to talk about it for sure, is that, you know, once again, you're admitting to this divide, and I like the honesty. I mean, so, you know, unrealistic expectations,
mm-hmm.
but yet millennials, I think, are dealing with it. I mean, I, in some sense, I feel as though it's the Generation Xers and the boomers who don't get it. I mean, or they don't. Do you feel this? Like they don't want to accept the next generation, the millennials? I don't know why. It just doesn't click in my brain. I mean, because it's the obvious that they're next. I remember Generation X. We were branded as lazy, and you know, we were, Kurt Cobain died, and we were all supposed to die right after him, and we didn't. We didn't have a shotgun available, so, you know, we're still here, all right? I just wonder about that, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, the intentions of our generation are good. You know, of course, again, as I mentioned, with such information overload, we're seeing, you know, we have a much more global perspective than any other generation because of access to all the information and that sort of thing. And so I think we do have higher expectations because we know what's out there. We know what other people are achieving, and we want to do great things for ourselves as well. You know, just as an anecdote, I'm also an adjunct professor at a couple of colleges in New York, and I teach career courses where I cover these topics. And we were doing mock interviews with our students, and I had this one student who at the end of the mock interview, I said, oh, you know, do you have any questions for me? And he basically said, you know, how can I become a manager really quickly, right? And, you know, I said, you know what, the way you phrase that doesn't really come off great, right? Because it makes you sound like you want to skip steps, right? Like you don't want to put in the work, you know. But I said, I your intentions are good, right? You need to switch that and reframe that question to say, you know, what does success look like? You know, I want to be a leader someday, and so I would love to know what is the trajectory for someone who wants to become a manager, you know, wants to work their way up? How can I do well in the beginning to ensure that I move up in that way? You know, so I think it's all about framing and just, you know, making sure that you're positioning yourself in the right way. But again, I think the intentions are good.
And here we are in the center of the universe in San Francisco and the Silicon Valley and the Bay Area when it comes to all things social media and millennial. I mean, this is it. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Emily Mithner about the millennials. And if you have any comments or questions, I mean, because we're here, you know, I mean, what are your frustrations? If you are a millennial, and if you're not, what are your frustrations with that generation and that entire culture? Are you accepting it? Are you just not having it? Do they get it or they don't get it? I mean, you know, are you trying to integrate yourself, meet them somewhere halfway in between? That might be a good idea. 808-0810. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I'm
Friday night in the big city, and we're talking about all things millennial on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
So now I thought I'd share some of my favorite worst first dates tweets from you guys. This first one's from at JessieB365. She says, my date took me to a nice restaurant. Our server leaned into me and said, You're the third one this week.
Ooh.
This one is from at Burns Danny Joe 3. She says, told a guy I was tired to make him leave. Instead, he leaned over, kissed me, and said, that will wake you up.
Oh. I'm in fear of my life.
Yeah, you know who's going to wake you up?
Yeah.
Pepper spray.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This one's from at Your Ann. She says, before picking me up, he asked if I liked Bush Light and how many I thought I could fit in my purse.
That's not bad. Class.
That's just class, right?
Amen. Bag of hot dogs.
This one is from Jay Hart. She says, homeboy wouldn't stop putting the chopsticks in his mouth pretending to be a walrus.
Come on, homeboy.
Homeboy wouldn't do it. That's funny. I'd do that.
Come on, yeah.
I have done it. This one's from at Southpaw 77. She says, I once had a date tell me I looked sturdy.
Ooh. That's not good. That's not good in any way.
That's not a good compliment, no. This last one's from at Venturely. He said, after paying the bill, my friend turned to his date and told her, you ate more than I predicted.
Friday night on the Trex Radio Show, and you're busted for sure. And Emily Mithner is my guest. She is a millennial expert. And by the way, you can follow her, her website, emilymithner.com, and we will post it at kgoradio.com. And she is the founder and CEO of Find Spark and MCG Social. And she's an adjunct professor at the School of Visual Arts and LIM College. So I appreciate you joining us. Yeah, you know, I with the, playing with the tweets thing with Jimmy Fallon from last night. And, you know, I have to think that part of the millennial culture that the other generations have a problem is a little bit of envy. Because let's face it, they didn't, and my generation didn't have Tinder and Grindr and all of those fun things.
Yeah, you know, I think it's social media. It's so exciting because the idea of being able to connect with anyone at any time is really cool. You know, at FindSpark, we focus in terms of the people we work with. We focus on people with creative skill sets and creative industries. So marketing, design, advertising, art, photography, that kind of thing. And we've seen so many great things happen between people who, for instance, come to speak at our events. You know, just for instance, we have a couple of people that we've had speak at events who are basically some of the most famous GIF, animated GIF artists on the internet and in the industry. You know, so these are people who on the side were honing their skills of creating this really fun, interesting animated GIF art, and brands started coming to them and saying, "Hey, we want you to make content for our Tumblr or our Instagram." And you know, these artists are able to meet with each other over these platforms and collaborate and do really creative things for themselves and for brands. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a reason to be envious of that because, you know, back in the day, you weren't able to connect with as many people so easily.
Right. And so there, again, is, I think, where things fall in the middle, you know, where people just can't relate to, my God, things are so instant and they're so wide and the ramifications. I think that one of the things that people have, you know, if you're not a millennial, then you have a problem with is it becomes overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's overwhelming for people who aren't millennials.
Honestly, I think it's overwhelming for everyone.
Okay.
You know, FindSpark has been around for about 5 years, and we still know how important it is to teach people to manage their expectations, right, and not to, you know, to have somebody to tell them you don't have to be on these platforms all the time to be successful, or, you know, there's not certain things that you can tweet that will just all of a sudden get you a job, right? It is really overwhelming for everyone. I think it just comes a little more naturally to millennials because we grew up using these platforms and, you know, just logistically, you know, it's funny. I talk about how sometimes when people hand me their phone to say, like, enter my cell phone number or something like that, my hand automatically will go to, you know, check notifications, right? Like if I'm in Facebook or something like that on their phone because, you know, these platforms are made to be addictive.
Absolutely.
These platforms want us to to go on and check these notifications. And again, it's definitely overwhelming for everyone.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. And, you know, one of the things that I think it makes it overwhelming for everyone, all three generations to accept is the fact that if you think about, for instance, the first iPhone was released in 2007. So, I mean, my God, that was 9 years ago. And it's just the whole internet thing is like 20-some years old. And it's just, look how fast things are happening. Is it happening too fast? I think that's what scares some people.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is, it is scary, but again, we like to take the angle of it as exciting as well. Also a big thing with FindSpark is we like to be realistic. And another thing that's happening because of social media is it is making things more competitive, right? You know, wherever there's a job, there's someone who's not only applying online through the regular application process, but there's someone who's reaching out to the recruiter on LinkedIn, or maybe that same person has their own personal blog where they're showing off their work, or maybe that person has a really great Instagram account. You know, so we want people to realize that you really, when you're in your career and you're in the job hunt or looking for internships, the baseline is really not going to get you far anymore. And so we want to really instill that sense of, realism and, help make sure they're realistic about it, but also to make it exciting for them, right? Because they do have the opportunity to really create their own network because of the ease of access they have to all these, established professionals to be able to connect with and get advice and form mentor-mentee relationships and that sort of thing.
Well, Emily, let me ask you, let me flip the page here. So, as someone who's not a millennial, I'm in the middle of Generation X. So, what advice would you give to the Xers or the boomers who are listening who want to work? And by the way, it's really important that they work with the millennials. So let's flip it. I mean, instead of, hey, millennials, here's how you have to deal with us. No, how should we deal with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think making sure to see the generation as something where there's just so much potential, right? So even if you think of the mere fact that somebody who is a millennial who is, has a LinkedIn profile, has a Facebook profile, and maybe one other profile on average, right? About three profiles they're managing, they have connections on. That means that if you have a team, you have these team members who have a lot of resources and connections at their fingertips. I think when you have employees who are more connected, that's extremely valuable because behind every successful company and project, it's people and it's information and resources. So I think using that to your advantage and knowing that, if your colleague has, if your team has an issue or something you're trying to accomplish, your millennial team members most likely can call on their network for information, for advice, for help, and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, and that really is the point. I mean, at this point in time in our careers and our lives and our work lives, you have to accept it and you really do have to deal with it. I mean, especially in the business world, I get very frustrated with when I hear stories of people, I don't want to pick on the Phoenix Suns, but people who don't want to, just accept that. It's here. It's happening. It's just like what happened with you when you were younger. Mm-hmm. There's always next. I mean, yep. and the millennials, I guess, will have Generation Z to deal with. Yeah, I mean,
right.
You're going to move down the line just like everybody else.
Exactly. And, I read an interesting stat about how, even though we're so much more connected through all these platforms, people still only have the, mental capacity to have the same number of friends. Years and years ago, you still only can maintain those real strong relationships with that same number of people. And, it's interesting. In that same article, read how the way you can sort of tell who's in your core group are the people who are with you in Facebook photos. Right, because the people who you're in photos with are the people who you're actually spending time with, and those are usually still your strongest connections, not the people who you're just connected to online. So I think that core number and group and network of people is the same, but what's so exciting is that for, you know, secondary network of acquaintances and colleagues and that sort of thing is so much bigger. And it's so much easier to stay connected with people over longer periods of time and, you know, stay on people's radar. That's a huge thing that we talk about through FriendSpark is how, you know, if you didn't get that job on the first try or you met someone really great at an event, you know, when you connect with them on a platform like Twitter or LinkedIn, every time you post an update or every time you engage with one of their posts by just liking and commenting, you know, that's a way of keeping in touch. That's a new way of keeping in touch that's going to slowly strengthen and maintain those relationships.
Emily Meithner, thank you very much. It's fantastic. She is a millennial expert, and you just had it, and you can find her at kgoradio.com with her link. I thank you for staying up on the East Coast. I know it's late, so have a good night, and it was fantastic having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Okay, good night. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with the good news on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Right, yes, I do. I'm hoping for that big Powerball jackpot just like you are. Bring it on.
The Powerball jackpot is at $700 million, which is like, it's roughly one Star Wars movie. You could make your own Star Wars. It's the biggest lottery jackpot in history. Never before has the total been this big. Nobody won last night, so they're going to do it again on Saturday. It was originally reported that Miss Columbia had won the jackpot, but that turned out, she's had a really tough month.
And by the way, it's up to $800 million. So it's just crazy. So you get $400 million. I have a feeling that, you know, a dozen people will win it. But what difference does it make? I mean, I think the big deal is, you know, the people with the pools. I saw on Channel 7 tonight before the show, you know, they were talking about the wars that break out in the past with the pools that you do in the office pools. People start suing each other because, well, they didn't get their fair share, or I was in and you were out, and blah, 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 blah. By the way, it was very, thanks to Emily Meithner for joining us and talking about the millennials. It was great. And she was mentioning about her friends and people who are millennials, and they connect through Facebook, and you can tell who their real friends are by looking at their Instagram accounts and this, that, and the other. So this is kind of on fleek. Bump, bump. There you go. Well, that sound out of order.
Why?
Why, Drex? Don't even go there. No, I just thought I'd try. So this survey found that more than two-thirds of Americans say that they've lost 90% of their friends in the past 10 years. Now, did it happen to you? I mean, think back to who you hung out with in New Year's of 2006. Can you do that, anybody? Mm. Let's see here. Okay, I know where I was. I was in Chicago. Yeah, they're gone. Yeah, I mean, they're not with me. Yeah, I'm in a different city.
Define friend, though. Facebook friend or friend?
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, there's still, but you know what? We are so, and this is what's great about San Francisco and the Bay, is this is not a hardcore city. Oh, my God, you're not a native. You weren't born here. Because everybody came, most people came from somewhere.
Everybody's a transplant.
Right. So it's not so hardcore. I mean, this was one of the things when I first moved to Chicago. And by the way, Crystal is filling in for Heather, if you're wondering. Well, that doesn't sound like
strange
Heather.
Strange voice.
Right. You know, the first thing I moved to Chicago was, oh, Drex, well, you know, you worked in Texas for so long that, you know, Chicago is a very hometown. You have to be from Chicago. You have to be a Chicago native kind of person.
Really?
And I wasn't, but I became that person.
Right.
You know, I became part of the town, and it worked out very well. So I think this is very interesting. So if you think back to 2006 and ask yourself, are you still tight with any of them? Well, you're right. It's like on what platform, as right. Emily was talking, are you still friends with them? So, you know, let's see here. The top five reasons that people have drifted away from a friend are losing them after a breakup. Okay, well, getting in a huge fight with each other. All right. Getting into a relationship.
Wow.
Just generally growing apart. And number one is moving to a new city.
Mm.
But I still think that, you know, you can stay in touch. And I think that that's one of the blessings and things that people of my generation, which would be X, Drex, or boomers should appreciate with the social media aspect, instead of putting it down and not accepting it, is embrace it, because, my God, this is how I do keep in contact.
Right.
And you know what's so cool? I mean, even simple things like texting at this point. My 76-year-old mother and I text constantly all the time. So this is all a blessing. I think it's all good. In its own way.
In its own way. It does have its cons.
Yes, and by the way, this is you should know this about texting. And this is where I think back to the what I kept referring to as the generational divide between the three generations that are now in play is, for instance, texting makes you temporarily deaf. Check this out. Have you ever tried texting somebody when you're busy? I mean, you know, have you ever tried talking to someone when you're busy texting? And of course, you know what happens when you're driving. I mean, you can say that you don't, but, you know, and it just even if you're using Waze or something, I mean, just looking down at that is a distraction. And it's probably happened to you a few times. This new study from the University of London College found out that your friends and family members are ignoring you because they're terrible and you're annoying. It's because when people text, they actually temporarily go deaf. The researchers found that when we focus on something visual like texting or playing a video game, our brains temporarily tune out normal sounds, which you know, now that I'm telling you that, you know it's so true. If you're having a conversation with somebody and you're texting or they start talking to you, you're not listening.
Zombie.
Right. That's exactly right. So you'd hear something unusual like a siren, but you don't hear normal stuff like people talking. And the more you're concentrating on your phone, the less you can hear other stuff. The researchers say it's because our hearing and vision basically split the same resources in the brain, so we're focused on one, and it's tough to use the other. So it's left brain, right brain, and that's enough brainy stuff for tonight, isn't
it? Makes sense.
I would say so. All right. On that note, have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will make more on Monday night just for you on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.